Hello, welcome to the series of talks, A New Life with Rob Lightman. Hello, Rob Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitsa. Hello. We invite you to join us in this series of talks. We've recently begun a series of talks about money, and we've talked about it from all kinds of aspects. And today, Rob Lightman, we'd like to focus on the matter of money and control. We've been seeing in the past few years that the earth on which we walk is being shaken up. Shaken up, it's shaking. Yes, shaking. There are constant changes, and it's possible, without being very clever, to analyze things and see that everything is based on money and control. Well, you can see that there are those who have, well, hundreds of years ago, those that had tons of money, and although other people had nothing. And you see that also today, and you see all the crises, and you see how people who have control today are losing it. So it's not that somebody who's losing control deserves losing it. The ricochets that you get from his loss, they reach my own bank account, so, and then I don't have what to use to buy food in the supermarket. There are all these processes that are happening, and so many of them are based finally about on money and control. So why did I say that the earth is shaking? Because the whole perception, the order, the status is, everything was clear. There's the rich, there's the poor, there's middle class. Everybody knows where they belong and what they need to do. Everything was pretty clear until about 10 years ago. And suddenly, with every year that passes and every month and week, everything is changing and moves. I remember when I was studying at university that the most important thing for an organization today is to be able to be dynamic and to react to changes in the environment. But this was a long time ago. It's been many years since then. And today, nothing is stable. Everything changes all the time. A person can't fall asleep at night. It's not just philosophical. A person is not falling asleep at night. Everything is so pressureful and uncertain. What does this mean for a person? So this subject of money and control is very important for us, and we would like to receive from you a few more insights today, because you've been talking about this new force, this new resource that's about to be added to our life in human society that has the ability to create new processes, this power of cooperation between people. We spoke about it as an actual coin, that can create a new financial system. So we'd like for you to analyze for us what's happening. Why is the money and the control losing its stability? And what's going to happen in the future? And what do we need to prepare? How do we need to prepare to reach this new vision? We are truly transiting into a completely new state. And this entire process that humanity has gone through, we were pushed to change from the smaller states to the greater states, from the smaller ego to the greater ego, through the technological development of industry and trade. We also changed the essence of society for the sake, from slavery to more modern systems of capitalism and so on. We've created a society when, a long time ago, societies only existed thanks to power. There was a king, he had an army, and he controlled the people, and that's it. Whatever the king wanted, that's what everybody did. We saw that over time, this form of control does not operate well, so we move to a different kind of control of the parliament and the president and so on. But still, control was from above downwards. And recently, well, it always existed, but it was more, hidden and reduced. There was always this control of money. whoever was powerful was in control, and whoever was rich was able to defend himself, say, in the Middle Ages and before that. And afterwards, with capitalism, with the technological development from the 17th century and so on, money began to be the main force. And even the force of war and all the other ones, it was all a matter of money. So then in our times, this force of money, it's already become so mutated. We've lost the value of money. It's not money that has gold behind it or natural resources. It's become just a piece of paper that, if it doesn't have some actual guarantee behind it, it's worth nothing. And now we discover it in this way. And the world, which was built in a pyramid form that was very clear and stable, that everything was organized from below, from upwards to downwards, through money. An army would strengthen this force, and wars took place for the sake of money and material assets and control, which also is translated into money finally. And if they did the opened war, then there was always the calculation beforehand. Is it worthwhile financially? How much does every soldier cost? How much might we lose? We would make some these sort of calculations to decide whether to go out to war or not. And these days, this force is ceasing to work, and everything is losing its grip, its control. The money is losing its control, and the coin itself is sometimes not worth more than the paper that it's printed on. From today till tomorrow, it can lose its entire value. And instead of $100, you'll be able to purchase what you can today buy with $1. So that's on one hand. And on the other hand, these things that were once very clearly accumulating in the developed countries of America and North America and Europe, within 20 years has passed to Asia and to all kinds of countries that you'd never hear about or see. Nothing. Suddenly they are becoming a great force because they manufacture so many things. They're also a big market. And it turns out that those same developed countries, Europe and America, are becoming secondary in comparison to Asia. These forces, these markets have become stronger than Europe and America. We see that this force of money that we thought we could rule the world through, the power is gone from there, from the money itself. Because the system has changed. Each coin has a system. The army, which is the coin of force. How many stars and signs does each one have on their shoulders? How many medals does he have on his chest? He has a status in accordance to that, and then he's greater, he has more control. Control over those who have less of these marks or markings. And if the army suddenly loses the force of its connection, then it doesn't matter who's greater or smaller, because there is no control anymore, even though he does have these markings or signs. And it's the same with money. We used to have a pyramid where it was clear who was big and who was small, and suddenly this pyramid doesn't exist so much. It becomes something amorphic. It's receiving a different form. And then that same force that was supposed to be in control in this pyramid that was just like in the army. It's not in control anymore because the system is becoming round. It's becoming integral, where everybody's equal, the small and great. We're all dependent on each other. And you can't control me because you're also dependent on me suddenly. Just like America is dependent on Asia or China. Or on Brazil and so on. Something's happened here. And the world has become much more round. It's different in its in the way it's built, in its structure, and therefore we cannot run it the same way we did before. Those who used to run and rule the world, America and Europe, feel that it's escaping through their fingers, this control. And then we find ourselves in this problem that we might be standing before a world war, because the desire of these people who used to have the force of the army and money, and they used to run the world, they knew how many warships they had, how many missiles, how many dollars. And today, even though they have these things, the system has changed. And now all these rulers of the world are now thinking maybe through a world war we can bring back this new system to its old form. And then we'll be in control again. And this is what they're working towards. They've created this Arab Spring and all kinds of problems and actions in all kinds of places in the world, in Pakistan and Iran and all kinds of places. The war is unending. They enliven all of and awaken all these terrorist groups. It's a hidden war, but it exists all the time. And all of this in order to stop the disintegration of the world in their eyes, which is actually their own loss of control. And this is a natural thing. The force of control always wants to gain his strength again and is afraid to lose it. And he doesn't see it as... He doesn't see before him some other action. He cannot fit himself to this new world because it's round. And the center of the pyramid is in the center of the circle. And the more that you are in a good and mutual interaction with everyone, the more you are in control. You control the force of connection, of participation, your integral participation in the global world, which is interconnected in all of its parts. Those who are constructed according to the linear ego cannot yet transfer or transit into this new management. We need new people for this, with an internal structure that is new to this new way of thinking. This is what we need, this new feeling, a new emotion. The places of scrutiny, of concern, needs to be towards connection, because this is what the world can exist through. And then we'll be able to control it. We will be able to help it continue to exist, but otherwise not. We won't. And so these same forces or powers that were before in charge of the world and would run it by force of army and money, they are still powerful. It's a real control of arms through money, through army. But their time will finally be up. And it's not because their army is weak or because even their coin is getting weaker. That too, of course, but it's the systems of connection between people and human society. It's those that are changing. And it turns out that if you want to try and control a new system with an old force, it won't work. This new system cannot be run the same way that it was before. So then there's a problem here that the nature of human society is changing. And so here we need to explain that this new system that has risen without asking us, it's the natural advancement, the evolution of human society that has reached the end of its egoistic evolution, individual evolution, and is now developing into the altruistic integral form that is new. And here it is demanded of us to change our perception, our thinking, the force of control. And what happens if we want to control today? What happens with us in order to ensure through this control an existence that will be normal, safe? We need to know the system itself beforehand, which began without asking us. And when we study it, we'll be able to see and learn what kind of form we need to receive in order to fit ourselves with the system to such an extent that we'll be able to survive in it, and perhaps not only survive like the primitive people who lived at the beginning of the previous system, the egoistic one, tens of thousands of years ago, the ones who came off the trees and the caves and began to develop. They saw that everything developed through the individual ego. The greater it was, the more successful. And they saw it, and they fitted themselves to this new system. And so they didn't make any they had all kinds of revolutions and changes and unifications. And now we need to see this new system that has arisen, which is a completely new age. And to fit man to this new system. It needs to be somebody who feels the power of connection instead of the personal power. And feels the force of integrality as the more he can organize himself together with it, not below it, but equally with it. The more he can do that with more and more people, and to build between them a mutual system of mutual guarantee, of mutual connection, of mutual responsibility between all people, even around the world. Then he will be in control. What does that mean, that he will be in control? Because he'll be just like everyone. It won't be him himself. But the people who will enter such a connection and get closer together, they will attain the force of control that is mutual for everyone. The pyramid form is over. The force of control will also be spread out between everybody, all over this circle periphery, just like everybody will be connected to each other. So what will be in control and who will be in control? The force of nature that will exist in this connection between them and organizes the system in its integral form. They will feel it as the upper force that is in control in a good way for everyone. And this will be the security, and this will be the control, the upper control. And thus humanity will proceed towards this. So here we have a very great internal revolution in the new values in comparison to the old values. If before we would see the power of the fist and the coin, which is the same actually, then now it's, then it used to be individualistic, private, and now it will be the power of connection, which will give the place and the possibility and power for the internal force of nature to be revealed. You can call it creator, you can call it God, you can call it the force of connection itself, it doesn't matter. But this is what will reign, will be in control. So there will be no control of one person over another, but the control of the upper force, which organizes the system in this way. And to the extent that we want to belong to the system as people, as human beings, we want to be part of it, then to that extent we discover this control. It passes from people and army and money to the force of nature. None else but him. Control is moving from people and money to the force of nature. Yes, from people, from money, from army, from all of these forms of control. It's all the ways in which people would advance themselves and encourage their own ego and thus develop. And now that the ego has become global, closed and dependent one on the other, it has no choice but to enter this unified form of connection between everyone and to clear the place in this connection to the control of the higher power. In this state in which nobody is in control except for the force of connection, the higher control is revealed. You explained before that in order for one who thinks and feels in the same in the way that he felt before, in relation to the structure of the old system, now he needs to begin to understand this new system, right? This new order that you've just described as a round system where the pyramid is suddenly disappears and the center of the pyramid begins to be the center of the circle, as you defined. So first of all, I look at myself as a person, we as people. What is the first thing that I need to do? I need to understand this new system, to know how to adapt myself to it. How will this process happen in reality? I heard from you now that the system is going to change, the order will change, and I feel this happening in my life. But the question is, what do I need to do right now? Do I need to study this new system? What are its demands? Of course, yes. What are its demands towards me? Yes, and to take part in it. And everybody, from the greatest to the smallest today, from the richest to the poorest, from the strongest to the weak, because if it's round, then we're all part of it. We're all subject to it. So this process that you just talked about that I need to take part in, you've just illustrated the process of where I've come from and where I'm going, and this is a very general picture at the moment, that everything that you were used to before, with all its rules and all the principles, they're now going to change. How is it going to change? What's going to happen there? I have a big question mark. It's all going to be a round system. Yes, but now I have this big question mark in front of my eyes because I used to know this old system, this old order. I had a certain logic. My logic worked according to this order. Now I need to think differently, and I don't even know how. How do I think in a new way in relation to this new process, this new round form or system? What do I need to do? You need to also have the same circle in your mind and heart instead of a pyramid. Because today, you know, that's the pyramid. That's on the top, that's on the bottom. And all the time, throughout your life, you work according to that. Also in your mind and your heart, you have that same system of values. From the top to the bottom, in their importance of money, respect, control, pleasure, and everything. Always, everything entered this pyramid. You can take all of your passions and fears and anxieties, everything that you have inside you, your internal world, and put it inside this pyramid, and to give each and everything a number or place to illustrate, to draw it there inside of the pyramid. And suddenly you see, and also the entire world, not just your internal world, but also the external world, your dependency on this and that and that. Also in the pyramid. Or take a ruler, it's more easy, instead of a pyramid. A scale. Now there is no scale. The scale has become a circle. And everything inside it, all the values, everything, they're all actually spread out all over this circle as circles that are more or less important to you. But they're all actually, they all are drawn to the center. And closer they are to the center, the more chance they have to be fulfilled. Because the circle signifies unity. From the most external, which is not so unified, until it becomes more and more reduced. What is the most internal circle? It's where the attributes and values become more and more mutual, thick, internal, concentrated, until it's all concentrated into one point. This is called as one man and one heart. The center. So this center, when you talk about its fulfillment, you remind me, in psychology, there's something that's called the pyramid of desires of Abraham Maslow of needs. It's a model that explains the impulse of man and how it's built, and it's really built according to the form of pyramid, and fulfillment is at the peak of this pyramid. And it's connected to what you said, that the center of the pyramid becomes the center of the circle, except before it was personal fulfillment and satisfaction. It was personal and social because the society itself saw it in this way, that it's advancing to the peak, to the height. But now its peak was the center of all circles. What happens to all the other needs of a person? Where do they go? They're all fulfilled to the extent that he's in connection with others. The extent of his connection. There is one parameter, the parameter of, like for money, the parameter is how connected I am with others. Are you connected to the extent of $100, $1,000? Or let's talk about connection. One connection, two connection, three connections. I don't know how to call it. That's it. This is the measure. And then in accordance to that, I'm more powerful, I'm more secure, I'm more healthy, I fulfill myself more, and so on. So there's also a kind of egoistic inclination here because it's all based on the previous ego, but this previous ego is run by in order to bring us to connection. When I understand now in my egoistic previous mind that it's worthwhile for me to be above ego and bring ego itself, like by the ear, to connection with others and to bow down before this value, this concept of connection. So who are in control in this new world? That same power, the only power that is revealed, the power of unity. No, it's not the person. It's the force itself, the force of connection itself. And we are all equal in front of it. So now I'm trying to think, because this issue of control is a very strong motivator force in man. It motivated him to attain things, and now as well. How? How do I control? I control myself to bring myself to the safest, bestest place, the center of all circles. And then, for this sake, I cancel myself and want to be with everyone in a connected and equal way. I didn't grasp here. This is what's called our previous ego is the one that especially leads us out of no choice, because it sees that otherwise it would just simply die, and it brings us to this new form. That's called that Pharaoh is actually helping the people of Israel to leave Egypt. Pharaoh brought the sons of Israel closer to our Father in the sky, as is written. So until a few years ago, all the systems and processes happened in quite a simple way. Everything was quite simple. Money, force, they defined an ability to control. And the systems ran in this way, in a certain way. Now you're describing a kind of transition to a new model. In the form of symbols, and you're saying that instead of a pyramid, we have a circle. How do things take place? How are processes defined? How do they happen? How do you function? What do you mean it's a circle? I mean, the problem today, both for a private person and also the entire public and different sectors and countries, the entire world actually, it's a lack of understanding what's happening here and where we're heading. So now that you're talking, I have this feeling that this new model that you're saying is going and is becoming from a pyramid to a circle is actually strengthening the chaos, the confusion. Before, we had something that worked in a certain way. It operated, but now everything, also according to our nature, it happened. Right, everything was clear. The processes happened. They were better or worse, but you improved them. And now there are all these shaking ups. Everything's being shaken up. And now you're telling us in secret, when I look forward, I see that at the end of this process, a new form of functioning will take place, which you describe as a circle where everybody's equal and all that kind of stuff. So it seems like it's the maximum chaos as possible. If you look at it with today's values, then you're right. But what it seems like the maximum chaos, this circle, maximum. Wait a minute, but you're not taking into consideration the change that will happen in man that needs to take place. Nature, though, is leading us to this integral system, to this round circle system, to interdependency, and whether you want to or not, this is the way our systems are beginning to work. You, for now, with this previous system, want to control this emerging system, the integral one, and it's not working out for you. It's very hard. You don't know here or there. Maybe you can enliven things a little bit here and there, but truly it's not working. And so we see a great confusion in all over a person's life, in man's life. And here we need to separate. And our psychologist here can explain to you that there are facts that we discover in a person, and there's what he thinks and what he wants. There's nature, and there's one who needs to cope with his nature. It's two things, and it's the same with human society. A system that is not does not depend on us as being revealed. It's revealed through evolution of human society. It's becoming integral, and we see it. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. But what can we do? Either we advance through blows and hardships, as we know, without awareness, or we can check and see what is going on with us. Why are we? Because we have this ability to think and want and to criticize. We have free choice with which we can finally begin to use it. And then we'll see where we're heading, because nature is blind. It can lead us to extinction. The entire species, human species, we've had such periods in nature where entire life forms disappeared. The much more... Perhaps we're heading towards that. This is a small Earth. It's a small galaxy. One of millions, so what? If you look at life in this way, in a philosophical way, then okay. But if it happens every day that you search for your food and security and health, then this already needs to be a different way of thinking. Not philosophical, but practical. And if we speak about how we will defend ourselves from these changes, then here is the question. Can you go against nature? Then they say today, when we look at politicians, that they want to go against nature. They're saying, we will throw away human society. We will toss human society through this world war 50 years backwards, and we'll go back to our old way of controlling things. Everything will be clear. I'm strong, you're weak. I'm rich, you're poor. And everything will work out according to the scale, according to the pyramid. And this is possible to do through great suffering, very great, where through war we can destroy that connection that is now being built in human society in a natural way, the round connection, integral connection, by breaking it, by going to war and blowing it up. Maybe 1 billion people will be left out of the 8 billion, and that's it. And we'll see what happens. Because if we lose control, this is the last thing that we shouldn't lose control. It's like when a person is beginning to lose control, to lose his mind, then he's willing to do anything, to kill, to burn, because he sees nothing in front of him. He doesn't know what to do. And here, intentionally, we know what war is. More or less, we can locate who are our enemies, who hates us, and who's closer or further, and when we make a selection, we clear away from those and from those. But again, the more internal and deep intention is not to allow the integral global system to appear right now. It's if they want to stop natural development. They won't succeed in this, except for perhaps a few years of great suffering and problems. They won't gain much benefit from this. But I'm telling you that out of no choice, our ego is willing to work this way. And so there is a real advancement towards war, very great advancement. And that's on the one hand. And we already see all these processes, especially here in North Africa, from North Africa to China. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, if we go out and explain with advocacy, and we shouldn't think this is a small force, with advocacy of what is going on in the world, and what we need to do in such a situation, we can explain to human beings, to the widest circles. Today we have all the means for this, to explain to everyone what are we standing before. That this is actually the call of nature. That the changes in human society are actually a calling from above. That for the first time in history, we now need to change ourselves, by ourselves, that one needs to adapt himself to this social model that is now being revealed. And there is no choice. Well, you can stop it through wars, through all kinds of things, but the plan is a plan, and it must be executed. In nature, in human society, inside of our genes, inside of our hormones, inside of all of our when we develop according to a certain order, a certain process. So in this process, in this very process, we've reached the end of the linear development. And we've begun to feel that we must enter a new development, and still we are not in it. We don't want it. We have still, perhaps for 100 years, a little less, let's say, we are already resisting it, especially since the end of the Second World War, resisting unity actively. We've created the two camps of Russia and America. We made all kinds of exercises with uniting Europe and Asia, and all kinds of unifications of G8, UNESCO. This doesn't work. Because this is all, you know, it's corrections that are external. We need to begin to change ourselves, for each one and each country and everyone to begin to be connected to one another in a circle, equally. The United Nations is not illustrating this circle for us, even though it needed to be the first to be in a circle. UNESCO is not formed as a circle. There are all kinds of problems. There are all kinds of unities like this, but none of them are built as a circle. Inside them, they are all built as a pyramid, even though they present themselves as circles. The United Nations itself, who is in control there? It's clear who is in control. How many countries, a few countries, push their own egoistic purposes there? So then we've tried to... We see that the world is becoming more and more round, that it demands from us more and more participation on the one hand. But on the other hand, then, yeah, we were heading towards it. But then we immediately turn it into a pyramid form, this system, immediately. And also in governments... Let's make a parliament where everybody will sit together in a circle. And immediately it begins to be a fight. You understand? So it won't help. There's the problem here of education of man. It's the first time in history that we cannot artificially or externally make any changes in human society. But these changes need to be from the inside out. And the rate of change of man needs to bring to the change in society and to the change in countries and in their and the way that they run themselves from inside out, from the internal policy to the external one. And therefore, this approach is new. We need to build the round man, round thinking. So the more round a person is, the more he will feel and think and understand how it's right, how it's good to, how he'll be able to take care of himself in the world. This will be the coin, it will be the value, the extent of his correction. This is the power, this is the money, it's the kisuf, the longing by which he, the covering by which he covers his ego, what we call the screen, by which he raises himself above his ego. And this is the new power, because in an integral system, you don't have another force by which you are sure or certain that you understand, that you can bestow, that you are in control in the field. And the result of what you buy, thanks to this new money towards for this connection, is the consciousness, the awareness, the revelation of the system, knowledge, a general feeling of security. It all comes to you to the extent that you're integrated in the system. Both the private man and also states and the entire humanity. Now, if we ever talk about the manifestation of these things, then here there are a few ways to look at it. There are things here that there are a few sides to it. There are things that are not completely clear how to fulfill these things, at what rate, in what form, how to approach them. We'll talk about it. Maybe we'll be able to clarify and understand it a little more. But there is no doubt that this is where we're heading and advancing towards, and there's a relative support for this from different wise men, wise people of the world. You've mentioned this concept of the wise people of the world, and this brings up a question for me. The process that you describe, either I did not understand you correctly, and then please correct me, but you're describing a process or state in which the wise people are in control? Because if until now the money, the formula was simple, money equals power equals status equal, and that defines the order and control and the processes and everything. You have money, or the state has money, you're on the top. You have less, I'm below you, and you're in control, and so on. Now, when you were talking, and suddenly I had this feeling that you said that this new man is a round man, but when you described his abilities, it sounded to me that this is a person that is very wise. Now this was a little pressureful to me, because once again, he's wise because he feels everybody, he feels the system. He's not wise because he has a special mind that he was born wise. This is completely not the same intelligence or wisdom. That is what you're talking about, is the wisdom that he has from the ego. And I'm talking about wisdom that he receives because he wants to be integrated and connected to the system. And by that, he attains the feeling of his connection to the system. And that's where his wisdom comes from. It's not the linear egoistic mind. It's a completely different, an integral mind. It's a round mind, which each and every one can attain to the extent that his heart is connected to the system. This is called the wise of heart, these people. Not external wisdom, but wisdom of the heart. What comes before what? Because we're used to, in our old linear way, to first study about something and understand it, and then to adapt ourselves. But according to what you're explaining, it seems the opposite now. It's like I need to feel first, and then I begin to receive its mind. Right, because first you need to connect to the new system, and then you begin to feel it, and then you begin to understand it. So then there is no chance for me to understand its order. Can you understand what it means to be a mother if you're not a mother? No. Good. What's there to talk about? It's the same. First, it's the feeling. First, in everything. Also in the ego, even in the ego. First, it's the feeling, and then understanding of what it is that I feel. Because our matter, our material, is the will to receive. But here, it's very... It's very powerful here and necessary, mandatory. It's a condition because here it's a system that I don't know, and I first need to enter it and to be within it. And because I enter it, then I begin to study it. And if I'm not inside it emotionally, then I have no understanding in it. And therefore, this is the problem with all of the managers today, that they don't feel this new system, and then they're helpless. They want to break everything. They want to go back 50 years using or through a world war, and whatever happens, happens, but at least we'll be in control. We have bunkers on the earth, places of hiding. We'll create a war, and afterwards we'll see a new world. And the new world will be like the old one, which we know how to run. You talked about the problem of all the managers, and suddenly I had an idea that if I have an organization or company, or maybe I even have a chain of companies, and I have a lot of control, and I want to receive services of strategy, because I understand that my old strategies were based on the pyramid world, which don't work anymore. On the other hand, I don't know how to read the new map. It's not clear to me at all. But maybe I can, let's say I would like to buy your services as a new strategic advisor. What would you tell me? I will go from the other side. If we want for the world to advance, in its own direction, through peace and not through war, then we need to pour out for the entire world this understanding, this knowing of what is before us, where we're heading, and how much mutual guarantee is needed and is commanded by nature, and for everybody to know, and it needs to be the property of all. And by this connection being revealed in reality from day to day, and we will all need to study the billions of people all over the world, then we, through this internal system of connection, will be able to put in the heads of those managers that it's possible to do it differently. Otherwise, they won't accept it. Externally, if I approach them as some sort of agent from an educational firm or something, they won't hear it. They won't want to. They won't be able to. They'll go in the path of war only on the condition that through the internal system, if we influence them with these thoughts, they will change their thoughts. Because the system will be unified and round, and as it's being revealed now, only in this way do I have an access to their mind and heart, even if they don't want it. It's through me beginning to teach all of humanity and not in an external way. In an external way, they won't be able to hear it. I have proof for it. Many, many proof, much proof. It's... they're not able to hear it. They can't. I spoke with, and other people spoke with a lot of these people. It didn't, it won't help. They can't feel that they can manage the world through this. They don't feel that they can advance through it. They don't feel that they attain anything through it. What about my money and control? Each of them asks, and they don't understand that the old money and power have no value, and now this new money and control have value. He's not able to digest it. He doesn't see any value in these new forms of money and control. When I bring it to him now, he looks at it, and even for free, he doesn't want to take it, and he wanted me to replace what I have for that. Let's say that I'm a man of means of control, you know, one of the greatest ones. And let's say that I find myself in hardships, and this is also something that's not rare these days. I feel a loss of control. The map that I had, by which I used to read reality and run it, it does not explain to me what's going on. Yes. Let's say you come to me. Yes. Yes, I meet you. I heard that you're a wise man. You have your own kind of map. You have a vision. You have a picture of what's going to happen. What do I offer you? Yes, what do you offer me? I'm on the verge of collapse of the empire that I've built with my own hands throughout my life. I illustrate to you a picture. What is the new world? Where all that is left from all of industry and trade, only what is completely necessary for man's existence remains. What you have left from your factories and ships and companies and everything, what do you own that is completely necessary? What do you have? Continue to run those well, even egoistically, and begin to get rid of all the rest. All the rest that belong to the surplus, to the excess, because they truly deserve to collapse. First of all, do that. This is a first act of healing of your internal or private economy. This is the first thing. Second, begin to educate inside your factories and firms with the integral education to all the workers and all the managers every day during the work hours. This is mandatory. This is a must. By that, you begin to have new blood flow in your factories, in your business. After you've done this, for a certain amount of time, and people are ready, more or less, begin to unify or to equalize income, salaries. Bring him to a level that is not so differential as it was before. Don't have a salary that is 50 times more than others, maybe 20 times, 15 times, 10 times, and so on. And begin to develop social connection. By that, it is certain that you will heal your business, you will help it recover, and then we'll talk further. Thank you very, very much, Rav Lightman. I hope you come to me with more advice. This was very nice. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you to you. We will continue in our next talks. Until then, all the best and goodbye.